John chapter 16, verse 4. And this is Jesus' words as he's just about to go out and be tried in a kangaroo court for something he did. He did nothing wrong. And here are his words and his farewell to his disciples as he's preparing them for his departure. This is the word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. John 16:4, about halfway through. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let's pray. O Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, do great things amongst us. O God, give us to give ourselves to you as we hear your word. And help me, O God, to present your word faithfully and in a way that is helpful for all of us. In the name of Christ, amen. So years ago, I guess about 8 years ago, when Dorothy, my wife, and I were preparing to adopt and eventually would adopt Amelia and later on Annalise, we had a training session that we had to go to for Bethany Christian Services, the adoption service that we were using. And there was a pretty intensive training that we had to go through over the course of months. And at this training session, I do remember something that one of the presenters said. He said, a lot of you have come to this training and you've been asking the question, why? So, you know, people here asking the question, why is it? Why is it that we couldn't have children on our own? Or maybe, why is it that we've had several miscarriages? He said, but you also are here because you're answering another question. And that question is what? You know, what can I do despite all of my questions as to why? How can I move forward? And he said, and that's the question I really want you to focus on. The why question has its value, but the what question is also very important. What are we going to do moving forward? In this case, it was, we're going to try to adopt. But what's happening in this passage today is somewhat similar. Jesus isn't saying that the why question doesn't matter. He's departed. And they're saying, why? Why are you leaving? Why can't we go with you? And Jesus is refocusing them on another question. What are we to be doing in your absence? And how are we to be doing that? And the answer is, the disciples, and in this case the apostles, the 11 remaining apostles, Judas had left, in this case, what they needed to do and what we need to do is to depend on the Spirit's witness for our mission. Depend on the Spirit's witness for our mission. And it breaks into two basic points that Jesus is making here. One is to depend on the Spirit's witness to convict the world. And the second one is to depend on the Spirit's witness through the apostles. This is what they need to do. This is the question of what. What do we need to do? We need to depend on the Spirit's witness to convict the world, and we need to depend on the Spirit's witness through the apostles. So let's look at the first point here, depending on the Spirit's witness to convict the world. So, halfway through 4 again, Jesus said, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. In other words, I'm telling you some things now that are relevant to my departure. Before, I wasn't departing, so I didn't share all of these things. But now that I'm leaving, now that I'm going to the Father, you all need to know these things. You need to learn these things. Verse 5, he says, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? Now this can be kind of confusing. If you remember, you might want to turn there to just chapter 13. Jesus tells them in verses 31 through 35, effectively, I am going back to the Father. And he says to them in verse 33, where I am going, you cannot come. And then if you look at verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? So what Jesus just said, no one asked me, where are you going? What is he talking about here? I also want to point out to you what Peter says. Looking back at 13:36, he says, where are you going? Jesus said to him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why? Why can I not follow you? You see, he's in this question of why. And what I want to argue is that Jesus is now saying, where I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going, in the sense of what? What are we to do in light of where you're going? How is that related to our ongoing mission? And I'll back that up further with verse 6. Jesus says, but because I've said these things to you about my departure, sorrow has filled your heart. You see, they're stuck in the why. We have been with this absolutely incredible man for these past 3 years. He has touched us in ways we just can't even put into words. And now he's leaving us. Why? Why can't we go with you, right? And so sorrow has filled their hearts. But Jesus is saying, I want you to ask this question of where I'm going in light of the future mission. I don't want you to be sorrowful about my departure. I want you to be hopeful. And you can be hopeful because you can depend on the Spirit's witness to convict the world. This is to your advantage even. He says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. It's to your advantage that I go away. It's an advantage for their ongoing mission. It's an advantage for their ongoing mission. And what is the mission of the church anyways? Well, it's not something absolutely different from what we saw in the Old Testament. Of course, we can go back to the creation and ask, what did it mean to be made in the image of God? What was the human mission? Because being Christians is just about being truly human, after all. Being what we were always made to be. But let's just go back to Abraham. And that programmatic promise and calling that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 12. He says to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. And he makes a host of promises to him about a people that will come from Abraham, a land that he's going to have, God's presence that's going to be with him. But then the seventh promise, the one that stands at the chief spot, is the purpose, is the mission. And what is that mission? To be a blessing to all the nations, all the families of the earth. Where the curse had enveloped the world because of man's sin, God is bringing blessing back into the world through the vehicle of Abraham and his people, especially through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would come. from the lineage of Abraham. So the mission hasn't changed. Christ's come to fulfill this mission of blessing all the nations with the knowledge of God, with eternal life, with salvation. And now with Christ leaving, it's actually only coming to bring further fulfillment to this mission as the Spirit comes to further fulfill, further this mission in the world to bless all nations. And so Christ teaches them what they are to do in his absence. And that is, verse 8, depend on the Spirit's witness to convict the world. And this is with regard to the things of Jesus. Ultimately, the conviction of the Spirit, as we're going to see, is constantly bringing the people back to the person of Jesus Christ. Depend on the Spirit's witness to convict the world in its heart regarding Jesus. If we look back to chapter 15, verse 26, Christ told his disciples, he said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." He will bear witness about me. As the Spirit comes into the world, to convict the world, it is to convict the world of things, yet always bringing them to the person of Jesus Christ. How all of those things relate to the person of Jesus and the redemption, the salvation that he brings. Now, convict is kind of an interesting word. It can mean a lot of different things, or at least a few different things for us in the English language. But the way that Jesus is using it, the word that he's using here, this is evidence-based truth about Jesus. This is basically saying something, we have done wrong. World, you are in the wrong, and here are the reasons why. That's what it means to convict the world in this case. But why does somebody bring a word of conviction? Is it just to make somebody feel bad? No. Jesus was not sent into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The Spirit comes to extend that ministry of Jesus, that mission of Jesus to bless the world. And so as he comes to convict, he comes to convict in order that he might heal. He comes to convict in order that people might repent. He comes to convict in order that people might believe, and in believing, have life in Christ's name. This is a conviction meant to bring life. And this is to the disciples' advantage. In other words, when the Spirit comes to bring that conviction, he will always get his woman or man. He will always get his boy or girl. Now, this is a deep teaching. But in John 6:44, it's very clear. You can turn there, or I'll just read it for you. John 6:44, Jesus taught, "No one can come to me." That's an ability statement. No one has the ability because of what sin has done to them, because of the desires of their heart are always set against me and for sin. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And if the Father draws him, listen to what Jesus said, and I will raise him up at the last day. In other words, if the Father draws somebody to the Son, that person will repent, that person will believe, that person will persevere in their faith despite all that Satan can throw at him, until the very last day when Christ will resurrect them for eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth. And so what we have here is the advantage that the Spirit brings as he comes to convict the world, and not just to leave them in their feeling bad, but to come to convict the very ones that God chose from before the foundations of the earth to receive his mercy. God said, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. And that is unfair. None of us deserve mercy. But those whom he moves towards in mercy, those whom the Spirit comes to convict, they will come to be convicted. Repent and believe. Now he comes to convict with three particular things. We go back to chapter 16. Jesus says he'll come and you need to depend on him to do this. It's to your advantage. Depend on him to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Very quickly, what does he say about each of these things? Concerning sin, verse 9. Because they do not believe in me. You see, when the conviction comes about sin, how it comes back to Jesus. The world will be convicted. We did not believe in Jesus. And so we murdered Jesus unrighteously, unjustly. He will convict the world concerning sin and the mistreatment of Jesus. That Jesus, the righteous one, died in our place for our sin. In verse 10, he's going to convict the world concerning righteousness. Because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. What does he mean by this? Christ is the righteous one. Christ is the truly sinless one. God raised him from the dead. And not only did he raise him from the dead, Christ ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ is righteous. We are not. The Spirit comes to bring that conviction that we have no righteousness, but Christ has the righteousness we need. God has provided another righteousness that if I will place my faith in him, God will count me righteous because of what he has done. He will convict the world of Christ's righteousness. Further, he will convict the world concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The game is up. When Satan had Jesus at the cross, helping pound the nails into his wrists and stab him in his side, Satan was securing his own defeat. And the Spirit comes to convict those whom God has chosen that if you remain on the side of the world, if you remain on the side of the ruler of this world, you're remaining on a losing team. Put your faith in the living one who has conquered this world, who has conquered the evil one, who owns the future, who owns the present. He brings that conviction. He secures that conviction. And so what we need to be doing, is to believe the Spirit is actually doing this. Joseph Yap came to me this morning. He said, I was in Zanzibar last year. I met this guy. He's a Christian. Right? People tried to put him to death several times in Zanzibar. It's very dangerous to be a Christian. People keep trying to put this guy to death. Nobody can do it. Well, one of the guys who tried to kill him, Joseph just found out, has now become a Christian, has now become his brother. Do you remember last week we learned about how the world will hate us? Imagine being a disciple. The world's going to hate you. There's only 11 guys here, Jesus. Really? The world's going to hate us? How are we going to do this? It is to your advantage that I'm going. Because the Spirit is going to convict the very ones who hate you, and they're going to love you. And they're going to be on your side. They're going to join your team. And so we need to believe, not be sorrowful, not be afraid, but to believe, truly grow in our faith that the Spirit is doing this. Depend on Him to do this work. This will breed joy. This will breed confidence. This will breed humility, because we cannot do that hard work that the Spirit does, but He can. And so it will breed hope. Now, Jesus does teach us something else we need to do moving forward, and that is depend on the Spirit's witness through the apostles. Now, who are apostles? We look at 15:27. It's a good place to look. Jesus said, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Apostles are disciples like any disciple, and yet they have a special calling, a special role in God's mission to the world. And that is that those were the people who actually saw Jesus heal, you know, Peter's mother-in-law, or turn water into wine, or raise Lazarus from the dead. And they're the ones who saw Jesus rise from the dead. They have a special role. Eyewitness testimony. That's the special role. They've been with him from the beginning. We don't use the word apostles a lot, but the apostles have a whole lot to do with your life. They are the ones who have been with Jesus from the beginning. They have a unique role to bear eyewitness testimony to the truth about Christ. Now, in verse 12 of chapter 16, Jesus says to these apostles, these 11, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why is that? It's because the Spirit has not yet come to give them the kind of comprehension they need. In fact, they can't really fully comprehend if Jesus was to tell them fully what he was about to do in his death and resurrection. It just was so outside of the box for them. They weren't ready yet. But verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now here, Jesus is speaking about not the things that are to come deep into the future, although he could be speaking about those things. But he is definitely speaking about the things that are to come very soon in their lives. In other words, the Spirit of truth comes, and we need to depend on the Spirit of truth to come to the apostles to give them the right understanding of Christ's death and resurrection. They are the ones who give the world the proper interpretation of Christ's death and resurrection. What does it mean that Jesus died? What does it mean that Jesus rose? We need somebody to tell us, and the Spirit comes to give the apostles the right perspective, to guide them into all the truth about Christ and his work. And so, they will then provide, by the Spirit, a dependable, a truthful, a rock-solid testimony and understanding of what Christ has accomplished for our salvation. Now, they are going to go out, of course, and they are going to seek to bless the nations with this truth about Jesus. And it is at that very time the Spirit comes to convict the world through their message. The two go together, Spirit and Word. There must be a preacher, but the person sharing, the friend sharing the gospel with another friend over lunch, nothing will happen if the Spirit does not come into their heart to convict them of the truth regarding Jesus. And of course, this apostle's testimony, what it ultimately led to was this. This is not just the book, though, that the apostles wrote, or that those who knew the apostles wrote. It's not just a book of eyewitness testimony. You and I know, I can see an accident happen, and if you're across the street, you could see an accident happen. We might see it a little bit differently. Maybe we'd have opposing points of view. But this is not just a human testimony to what they saw. This testimony has been attended by the Spirit of God so that he would guide them into all truth, that our scriptures, in fact, would even be inspired, inerrant, and would never fail to guide us into the truth, to guide us in the way of Christ. You know, as you go off to college, or you go into high school, or you just get to know people in your neighborhood, I can almost guarantee you that somewhere along the line, some self-professed smart person is going to try to undercut your confidence that the Bible is the Word of God. And I don't care how many letters they have after their name, they don't know what they're talking about. I would almost be willing to bet they haven't read the Bible, at least as much as you have. You need to remember when that comes, what Jesus taught his disciples here. Our dependence is not on our wit or our intelligence. Our dependence is on the witness of the Spirit, who has borne witness through the apostles, who were actually eyewitnesses of the work of Jesus. The Scriptures are that witness that we need to depend upon as we carry out our mission to make known what God has done in Christ. So have confidence in the Scriptures' witness to Jesus. The Spirit always points the world to Jesus, not to himself. The apostles point to Jesus and not to themselves. And so as we bear witness to our friends, we're not bearing witness to ourselves ultimately. Maybe our lives show forth something of the work of God. But when we share with our friends, we're always telling our friends about who? Jesus. That's who we bear witness to. And we depend on the Spirit for that, and we depend on the witness of the apostles to do that. And that is exactly, of course, what this meal bears witness to as well. As often as we take it, we declare Christ's death until he comes. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, all of you." That same night that he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink, all of you, for the forgiveness of sins." If you have yet to put your trust and hope in Jesus and be baptized, then please refrain from this meal for now. But certainly put your hope in him. Come and talk to me or Elder Jay or just anybody in our congregation about your faith in Jesus so that you can come in the future and join us for this meal. And if you're writing your testimonies right now, I can't wait till you guys join us at this meal.